This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
For daily content, follow Bartholomew Town on Instagram and TikTok.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.
Bartholomew Town is presented in part by the University of Rhode Island Online, who offer a wide array of programs. Visit uri.edu/online or give them a call at 401-874-5280. That's uri.edu/online or call 401-874-5280. All right, so an interesting conversation right here and an important one at that, no doubt about it. I think the best thing to do is when we have multiple voices, I always like to have everybody introduce themselves. So let's do that right out of the gate so we can establish who everybody is. And good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Eileen Felice. I go by they, them pronouns. I am a center coordinator at Youth Pride Rhode Island. And I'm very excited to be speaking with you today, Bill.
Well, thanks for the time.
Sweet. Hi, all. I'm Gigi or Greg. I go by both. I use she, they pronouns, and I'm also a center coordinator at Youth Pride.
And hi, I'm Sai Bedrick. I use Z, Fay, and they pronouns. I'm a former center coordinator and social work intern at Youth Pride and current member, as we all are, of the Youth Pride Staff Union, affiliated with 1199 SEIU, proudly. And we're so happy to be here and so happy to get to talk to you, Bill, about what's going on.
Well, appreciate everyone making the time this morning and to have this important conversation. I guess, first of all, for the listeners who don't know, what is Youth Pride Inc., YPI, as it will be referred to today? What is it? I think a lot of people would probably ask that question.
Well, Youth Pride is a nonprofit organization that has been around for over 31 years here in Rhode Island. It started as a support group called The Way Out at the Sarah Doyle Center at Brown, and just kind of grew from there. It had several different locations in Providence. Right now, we're located at 743 West Minister Street in Providence, Rhode Island, and it's a nonprofit organization that serves LGBTQ plus youth here in Rhode Island. We are a drop-in center, but we also have social work services, rapid rehousing. We have some case managers on staff. We also have a couple social workers on staff as well. And we offer therapy services. But on top of that, we also have different programming offering to youth, like a support group called The Way Out, a Spanish-speaking support group called Nuestro Orgullo. We do Queer Gourmet every week on Wednesdays, which is the community coming together, cooking and eating together, which is one of our most popular programming. We have a couple of Discord groups as well, and a D&D group called Imagination Guild, which is awesome. But yeah, YPI is a very important organization here in Providence, Rhode Island, and Rhode Island in general. I think we are one of the only organizations that does what we do, serving LGBTQ plus youth. And yeah, I think that's the rundown.
That is a fantastic rundown right there, no doubt about it. So back in February of this year, YPI workers voted overwhelmingly to form a union. And as you mentioned, it's SEIU 1199. A lot of people are going to be familiar with that union, especially after COVID, because it's of the fact that it incorporates so many healthcare workers. And in the ensuing months, there have been allegations from frontline staff and others that there has been some level of retaliation as a result of forming this union, so much so that YPI staff filed an unfair labor practice charge with the National Labor Relations Board, and you're currently in the process of trying to settle your very first union contract. Mm-hmm. Where did this stem from, and what sort of retaliation has your organization's workers experienced?
Yeah, I can speak a little bit to where our decision-making was, and then I think Sai can speak a little more directly to retaliation things, if that sounds good for everybody. Cool. So I think for me, early on in the process, before we talked about it collectively, I was experiencing some and just observing some concerning patterns of behavior that felt as though, they were disregarding, disrespecting, and belittling us as staff, ignoring our voices, and all around kind of creating a culture organizationally that did not feel sustainable for our work, the life-saving work that we do. And I think for all of us, it felt like unionizing was one way that we could establish collective power in ensuring that the org can be a sustainable, safe working environment, so that this truly vital work to the Rhode Island community, can continue.
And what sort of specific instances did you, or I guess I should say this, when did you all start to feel that in the wake of the vote to unionize, there was a negative energy coming at minimum? That's a polite way probably of putting it, but coming from management.
Almost immediately.
Mm. In fact, can I add, it was before the vote even that we began to experience retaliation. Because the process of unionizing involves delivering a petition with the intent to unionize prior to the vote. And in the past, that time between the petition and the vote was a lot longer. Now there's been some recent legal shifts, some law changes that made that a faster process. So for us, we delivered our petition on January 8th, 2024, and we voted to unionize on January 26th, 2024. But even the first week, the first day that we delivered the petition, there was a reaction and things that affected the staff and the youth. But Gigi, I don't mean to cut you off if you have more to say.
Nope, you did great. That's great.
Please.
Oh, I was just going to ask, do you want me to go into more detail now, or did you want to...
No, fire away with any detail is helpful.
So when we delivered our petition to unionize, we asked our union organizer that was with us, asked the two standard questions that this union asks management when folks deliver a petition to unionize, which are, one, will you voluntarily recognize this union, which gives the management an opportunity to skip the vote and allow the workers to just automatically unionize. And to that, our executive director responded that they couldn't answer that at the time. And so our rep moved on to the second question, which is, do you promise not to harass or intimidate any of your workers? And to that, our executive director hung up on us. So that was immediately a bad sign. And then that day we were supposed to have programming. Was that a Friday?
No.
It was a Monday. Yeah. We were supposed to have programming. On Mondays, we do programming with the little kids. We have our 5 to 9 year olds and our 9 to 13 year olds. We have support groups for those folks. And rather than continue with work as usual, which is actually the law, requires the maintenance of a status quo in a workplace between the time of petitioning and unionizing, and maybe after. I'm not an expert on this, but the response was to actually lock us all out of our work accounts and to cancel programming and shut down the center for the day.
Really?
Yes.
So you were locked out of your email or any other accounts of that sort?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we do, our jobs are like pretty layered and complex. We do a lot. It's a small organization. So everyone lifts a lot of weight. And so, we do all the curriculum planning for these programs. We're really focused on bringing really rich and, supportive programming to the community. And so I logged in to check on what our curriculum plan was for that day to refresh my memory before we went to work. And I was not able to access it. And we all discovered, every worker who was signed onto the petition discovered that we were locked out of our accounts. And it was really a detriment. Every time that programming is canceled last minute, it's a detriment to the community and to the youth who are relying on it. For support and for resources. But that was just the beginning. Within days, Nubia Gomez, our peer navigator and a really vital member of our team, was terminated from her position. And we believe that that was an unfair labor practice. And we have a case stating that. It was pretty clear that Nubia and I were seen as leaders in the unionization process, and therefore the two of us received the brunt of a lot of the retaliation. And then within a couple days after that, my social work internship was terminated. So I remained on staff as a center coordinator, but I had occupied a dual role, which was agreed to by management, that was supposed to last through May. And it was terminated halfway through the program, which put me in a really tough position with the requirements of my school, but also put a lot of the youth in really tough positions because I had like 6 months of established rapport with a lot of youth who I was doing case management work with, and really some like emotional crisis support with on an ongoing basis. And these youth really were attached to me and relied on me for a lot and had established me as like a safe person for support. And then they couldn't come to me anymore because not only was that position terminated, but our director of youth services changed the descriptions of the center coordinator's jobs to make it against the rules for us to have one-on-one conversations with youth, which was another really big concern because we serve a really vital mental health role for these youth. A lot of people in that age range are at a higher risk for like mental health concerns and suicidality, and a major protective factor for against youth suicide is having trusted adults that they can go to, that see them, that they feel like they can talk to. And we were those people for a lot of the youth, especially youth who don't have, you know, family members that really see them for who they are or are a safe space. And so not being able to have those one-on-one conversations was really concerning. And in response to that, because the staff is really dedicated to our work and concerned about our community, we delivered a petition, a second petition, stating that we were working under duress, that it was a liability concern, and it went against the mission of the organization and was harmful to our community. And immediately after delivering that petition, actually within half an hour, all of the center coordinators received disciplinary notices without union representation after we had requested that. For like things that had like really minor things, like not taking the trash out like a month before. And that was a very clear retaliation as well. And that's, I'm just scraping the surface here. Like there's so much stuff that's happened, but just to give you a real brief dip your toes in.
Well, what it sounds like to me is that the actions that you're describing here would not only have a major impact on the staff, but would have a major impact on the clientele and the broader mission.
Absolutely.
And by making these changes on the fly whatever justification. Let's even just take away for a second and say that there was no union retaliation or unionization or anything like that. Changes to services that impact vulnerable youth is never a good thing in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Where do you go from here? What's next? I know you have the NLRB charge and so forth, but this has cost, as you said, some staff members, some critical staff members, and it doesn't seem from what you're describing right now that this was like just a bad day. This seems like you're laying out a case here that seems systemic. How do all of you move forward here?
Yeah, systemic is a very good way to put it, Bill. Moving forward for the union and for the staff members and the union members of YPI, we have launched a petition of no confidence in our management due to their retaliation behavior. And also, just like Sai said, it's only scraping the surface of what they're doing. But basically, the reason why we have a petition of no confidence is because they're acting upon their own best interests instead of the best interests of the organization. And that is directly impacting the work we do every single day. And like you said, Bill, it does impact the mission and the work we do. So we launched that alongside an article. And we are now up to almost 600 signatures on that, and it's still open. We still ask people to go and sign, as we want as much signatures as possible. But moving forward, we were hoping that we would be able to settle all of our legal disputes, but that doesn't seem like it's happening. But we are still committed to making a change in this organization and acknowledging management's behavior. And we're actually having a drag show coming up called No One Owns Drag at Moniker on May 11th, starting at 1 p.m. It's going to be awesome. It's a fundraiser for funds for the union members that have been affected financially due to management's retaliation. And we're hoping to also spread the petition around that event as well. That's basically what we're doing. We're close to 600 signatures, but we're hoping we get as many people coming to support us for that event coming up May 11th. I don't know if I already said that, but yeah.
It seems like it's going to be a challenging environment. Even if this is resolved, you now have an air of tension that all conflicts have possible resolutions, but it's not going to be the same. Do you think that with the current management in place, the organization can function at its maximum capacity given this rift that seems to have developed, or is there going to have to be a major change?
Well, that's part of what the petition is about, is that we've really tried every step of the way to work amicably and productively with management, because we're coming from a community mindset. Like, we believe in including people and working together with people and considering people's concerns and opinions and valuing their voices. And so that included management for us. And we really tried to come together with them. We've offered really generous offers on the bargaining table, and they've really just said no. And so, because we're so committed to the mission and the youth, we are hoping that the management has a change of heart, and we're really still willing to work with them. But the petition is really about raising our concern about their behavior thus far, and the way that it's affecting the youth and the mission. And so the management isn't the only people involved. There's the board of directors, and they oversee in some ways parts of the organization, which is like a nonprofit structure. And we really haven't gotten to speak much with the board. We really are hoping that they will have a conversation with us, and also that they'll see our concerns and take them seriously. and take action to make sure that the youth and the organization are safeguarded.
Mm. Well, it's really, I mean, there's no other way to put it that, as you said, you're protecting not only your interests, but also the interests of so many. So like you just, I don't need to restate what you just said, because it's so accurate, and there's a lot at stake here. And let's hope that there's a resolution that doesn't disrupt the services that you provide as an organization. That's the further disrupt. That's the most important thing. Last couple of seconds here for anybody who wants to work in any way, shape, or form to help your cause. What's the best way to get in touch?
You want to take this one, Eileen?
Sure. Well, we have a union Instagram called YPI_union. That's a good way to get in touch with us and also keep updated to what's happening with the union. But we also are telling people, like, if you still want to get involved with YPI, that would be wonderful and would help us a lot. But while Youth Pride is always accepting volunteers, and you can go on the Youth Pride website to find all the stuff you need to know about volunteering there. We also, like, we're not telling our story and coming forward with our truth to tell people to not support Youth Pride. We're telling our truth in the opposite, like, to come and please support and uplift the workers there, but also the organization. Again, this organization has been around for 30 years. It will take a whole lot more to basically dig it into the ground. We are a community-based organization, and we're asking our community to uplift the organization as well, meaning donate as much as you can to Youth Pride. It helps us, despite everything that's happening with management. We're asking people to spread the word about Youth Pride to other family members or friends if they know. We have amazing resources at Youth Pride, and we're constantly trying to expand our services and our programming. I think that's pretty much it on my end. I'm just saying this, mm-hmm. like, we are committed to the youth. And we love our jobs. We adore all the people that come through our doors. And we really want people to see how hard we're working to support all the youth in the center. But if you want to add anything, Sai or Gigi, go ahead.
Yeah. The only other ways I can think of that people can support are to keep signing and circulating that petition, mm-hmm. and to show up to our drag fundraiser on May 11th at Moniker Brewery. There's a rain date of May 12th, but we're hoping that doesn't have to happen. But thank you, Gigi. Thank you, Eileen and Gigi, for speaking to all of these important points.
Thank you, Sai.
Thank you all.
I thank you all as well for having the courage to, you know, come on here and lay this case out for advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a weird moment right now. It's there's so many micro and macro crises happening around our state, around the country, around the world, and self-advocacy, self-activism. There's like a machine right now that's trying to tell you you're wrong if you're standing up for yourself. It's a basic tenet that we're seeing deployed all over the place right now. And it's a vulnerable time. It's a vulnerable moment. So it takes a lot of courage to unionize in the first place here, and then to speak out when you believe that you've been, we'll just say, done wrong. It's an important and impressive thing. So I thank all of you.
Thank you, Bill.
And I think, even if I might just add, like, mm-hmm. as important as the work of unionizing is to, like, establish more, like, work security or however we want to call it, like, it really, for me, again, comes back to the youth. Like, I am interested in the potential that organizing a union is giving us to be here more consistently, powerfully, effectively for our youth.
Totally critical and totally understood. Thank you all.
Great. Thank you.
Oh. Thanks.
Shortly after recording this episode, I did reach out to management at Youth Pride, Inc., informing them of the story and asking them if they had any sort of response. I received this statement here addressed to me from Russ Frazier, the executive director of Youth Pride, Inc., which I'll read to you, the listeners, right now. Dear Bill, as a nonprofit organization dedicated to uplifting and supporting its community, Youth Pride, Inc. is equally committed to its staff and their quality work, which helps us achieve our mission. From the onset, management took proactive steps to address staff concerns. Management agreed to an expedited union election and increased the hours of part-time staff initially hired from 20 hours per week to 25 hours, demonstrating our commitment to providing stable employment. Additionally, we responded to the request to drop documented written warnings, signaling our readiness to start negotiations fairly and transparently. No workplace is perfect, and management has never claimed to be perfect. We have remained ready to work through our differences in good faith. A unionized workplace commonly addresses management's concerns with workplace performance, conflict resolution, and respect for clearly outlined human resource processes to benefit workers who show up to the workplace in good faith. We welcome this change. Our board has been informed and involved in this process at every turn. We thank them and everyone who has come forward over these months to share concerns and offer support. Sincerely, Russ Frazier, Executive Director, Youth Pride, Inc. Stay tuned to Bartholomew Town as we continue to monitor this story.